there's a variety of tools out there. We are just another tool, but what we are is a tool that cannot be gamed. We're decoding you simply by looking at an image of you, and we're capturing your true essence of what makes you.
Welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Kaiser. Our mission is to discuss practical insights and share knowledge on how to navigate the transformative technology of AI. It's important to understand how AI can be used safely and ethically while revolutionizing patient care, streamlining operations, and enhancing medical research. Today, we welcome Roman Kitka, founder and CEO of Phenometrics, an AI software platform that decodes core personality traits based on a person's image, the words they use, and their communication patterns. I've been looking forward to this conversation with Roman. Welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare, Roman.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Pleasure to be on your program.
Well, Roman, a big part of what we try to do is educate our listeners on the AI topics. And I want to start with the word phenotyping and have you lead into the name of your company, Phenometrics. So phenotyping is the study and description of observable traits, those are phenotypes, resulting from the interaction of an organism's genes and environment. Now that's a technical term. It's the study and description of observable traits resulting from the interactions of your DNA, your genes, and your environment. So at a high level, tell us about Phenometrics.
That is a great definition, great starting point. Your DNA will tell you not only who you are, where you come from, what diseases you're susceptible to, but they can also tell you your personality. And there are companies now that can recreate what you look like from your DNA. So if you follow that logic, we work backwards. So if we know what you look like and we know what are the markers for every aspect of your physical being, for your face, and then we know various personality traits and so on, what we're doing is we're matching, correlating your physical features to personality, and then we predict your behavior. So there's a variety of AI tools we use. First and foremost, computer vision is probably one of the key aspects, because computer vision is the AI technology that analyzes and reviews your facial features. So it needs to be able to look at an image, be able to pick out all of these features, correlate all of the measurements, because we use every aspect of your face. So every feature, every line, every wrinkle has significant meaning to us, and it is genetic code. It's not there just by pure chance, but it's actually genetic code to us.
Roman, let me interrupt just a second. I'm so intrigued right now with what you're saying, because my understanding of computer vision and how it's evolved in the last decade has been remarkable. It's used in radiology, it's used for looking at scans, mammograms, things way better, identifying way better than what a human being can do. And so you're looking at the face with computer vision, and what other tools go along with that?
Yeah, so in addition to computer vision, we also use large language models, machine learning. That becomes very key for us, for our databases. We've created some very powerful algorithms that sort of make sense of all of that, all of these data points. One of the, probably what we do, which is the most important thing, is we decode from a typical image, approximately 65, 70 character traits. That's the really difficult thing. Now, what we're using as generative AI has gotten to be quite popular in media. Everybody's talking about the chat GPTs, and there are dozens and dozens of other companies that have really great toolset solutions. We use that to generate a report. And what that does for us, it gives us total flexibility to be very specific, to be able to create a report that not only describes the individual in a variety of frameworks. Typically, we do big five factors of personality, big five factors, or commonly referred to as OCEAN, which is openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. This is pretty much what psychologists all over the world use to determine your personality as they're giving you an assessment. It's probably one of the most accurate tools out there. So what we are doing is we are matched to that framework. DISC is another one. DISC being talking about your dominance, influence, steadiness, and conscientiousness. So we are matched to that. Another very popular framework assessment tool out there is Myers-Briggs. There's Hogan Assessment, the professional business world. There's Dorberg's Dimensional Action Logics is another one for leadership and management. There's a variety of tools out there. We are just another tool, but what we are is a tool that cannot be gamed. You're not filling out a questionnaire. You are not filling out a survey. What we're doing is we're decoding you simply by looking at an image of you. And we're capturing your true essence of what makes you.
Wow. I'm going to say wow about three more times, okay? You're telling me that you can look at an image of a person and derive personality capabilities. That reminds me of a situation I was exposed to. I took a short course at MIT on AI as it relates to healthcare. And they had a few examples of AI, and they put them into the category of superhuman. And the very first thing when I heard about some of these superhuman cases with AI, I was very skeptical and I doubted it. But here's what they had. They said they could identify coughing sounds as an indicator of COVID. So they went out and sampled millions of people coughing and were able to use a model to determine if that person was asymptomatic or they did not have COVID or they did have COVID. And they were able to do this identification process with a high degree of accuracy. And yes. I'm saying, how in the world can the normal person would sit there and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm not here to say, I don't believe it. I'm saying that the technology that's evolving here that you've just talked about is able to identify an image of a person and start to come up with some of their personality traits. Did I get that right?
Yes, yes. So we're able to, like I said, identify some 70 plus traits of an individual. We're working to complete additional facial features and markers, which would only improve the accuracy level as we decode more and more feature sets, marker sets. But what you were saying is very important. There's a lot of technology that's happening today that people from yesteryear would say that is not possible. I mentioned earlier, DNA has become very important in a variety of fields. And you had mentioned that you're involved in healthcare. So as there are a lot of companies that are looking for, not only for diagnosing certain ailments that you may be predisposed to, but actually curing people of various illness through gene therapy and gene manipulation, if you want to call it that way, that can eradicate some really bad diseases that are out there.
I know that from a background of technology, we've seen a lot of things change over the years. This phenotyping is not something new. It goes back centuries, actually, of trying to find observable facts, trying to find ways that you can identify characteristics, things of that nature. Early on, you had selective breeding and you started classifying plants and trees. And then you started moving into some more genetic environments like that, modeling different things with 1953, when we finally got some DNA models, started to understand that. And now we're really going into some future trends. And that scares a lot of people. That's frightening to a lot of people to think that we can do things like that. Now, my big question starts to come. Why would you do this? You mentioned all these different surveys and things that you can take to get personality traits. Why do you need something like this? What's the advantage, or what would you do with something like this?
That's a great question. I think first and foremost, I started this company to improve the human condition, to improve relationships, because the challenges that I see in human interaction is the misunderstanding between individuals. And that causes a lot of conflict, whether it's in a professional environment, you may not be understood, your boss doesn't understand you, you feel frustrated. In your personal life, you may be, relationships don't work out. So at the end of the day, everything is about human interaction. No matter how high-tech world we live in, how AI-driven it will be, humans will always matter. Always. It's humans that create, and it's humans that destroy. So I wanted to create a tool that would improve human interaction, human relationships. And as you said, there are a lot of tools out there that will assess personality and so on. But here's the challenge some of those assessment tools are faced with. Today, I can go on a YouTube video. I can take a tutorial on how to take any of those tests. How can I take a Myers-Briggs or a Hogan assessment for a very specific job? And what I'm doing now is I'm not answering that truthfully and honestly, but I'm answering it the way that will help me get that job. And I believe that what happens is people actually cheat themselves out of that. To give you an example, we are born with our genetic personality. And let's say we have an individual that was born to be highly creative, gregarious, very social being, but their father was an accountant. And since child was able to walk and talk, the dad had said, you need to be an accountant. And his whole life, that child or her was faced with this direction to be an accountant. They become an accountant. They go to school. They become an accountant. Now they're 30 years old, 35 years old, and they're miserable in their career because they're not cut out to be crunching numbers in a cubicle 10 hours a day. They need to be out there socializing. They're creative. They're gregarious. That they need a job would be aligned with their personality. And what I'm saying is that a lot of times our environment, which means mom and dad and our educational system, puts us into a direction that is really not who we truly are.
No, let me understand this. You take an image of a person, a photograph of a person. What all do you know about that person? Do you know about their upbringing? Do you know about where they went to school? Do you have all that data? Does that figure into your calculus here?
No. So the power of our technology is we can look at the anonymous face in the crowd. We don't know your name. We don't know your education. We don't know anything about you other than we can see your face. We can decode you, analyze you, and come up with information just from that image, which becomes really powerful. The other thing, too, is our system has been designed without any human bias. So when we analyze a person, we do not look at their gender, their race, their sexual orientation, their religion, their social economic class. None of those things matter. Those are demographical data points. What we look at strictly is the personality and mindset. So we are all about the right fit, you know, between individuals, between organizations, between teams and jobs and so on. So with us, it's having the right personality and mindset. So to give you a quick example, if I'm looking for a customer service representative, I need an individual that has high empathy, that is agreeable, that is extroverted, not someone who is going to be a dominant, aggressive, combative personality, because you're going to have conflict. When you have a situation where somebody says they're not happy with their product, with your product, and imagine if you had a customer service representative said, what did you do? Did you drop that cell phone? Is that why it's not working? You know, there's nothing wrong with that phone. And then you have conflict. So having the right personality fit is crucial. And in that scenario, gender, race, sexual orientation, religion, none of those things matter. You're looking for the right personality fit.
So my image, unfortunately, I think it's unfortunately, has changed over the years, Roman. I looked at some pictures of me running the marathon 40 years ago, and my image has changed now. So you take a picture of me today and analyze it. How valid can that be from an older picture? Or can you look at my future self as well? How extensive is this ability to decode DNA and get personality out of it?
It's a great question. So the personality that we're born with, or the characteristics that we have to develop to be our full potential, reside there from birth in our environment. Like I said, your parents' upbringing and direction and guidance in life, your education system and life experiences can alter who you become and so on. But in times of stress, we always revert back to who we are. So if we are that very logical, rational, pragmatic thinker, we could learn to be more open-minded and so on. When we are told, hey, you got an important project, an important assignment, we treat that very seriously. And if we're that logical, rational, pragmatic individual, we would be very methodical on how we solve that assignment. So we always revert back to who we are. And this is why some individuals, I'll give you an example, you could have a burning building and you could have 100 people watching the building burn from across the street. And one person runs in to save everybody. That person was not trained, but it's within their DNA to be courageous and to be helpful. And that's just who they are. They will do that. So you see people do extraordinary things because it's in essence who they are.
I know your background, Roman. You've been involved in innovation and technology, venture activities. You've driven multi-billion-dollar growth in big companies, people like Nokia and Panasonic and LG. You've traveled the world. You've been everywhere. You've been in hundreds of locations I've only dreamt of being at. A lot of deep multicultural roots. How do you look at this and say, that image of the person doesn't matter on what part of the world they're from, does it?
Dr. Bao, that's a great question. Because we as humans are so diverse, we look differently. And so one always assumes that people are unique and totally different. What I could tell you is this, there are some things that are universal. So if a person smiles, whether you're in Latin America or in Asia or Africa or in Europe, that emotion is the same. The same thing if you're crying, this sadness and so on. With personality, it's very similar. You have certain characteristics that, you know, if you are a social, gregarious, outgoing person, that's who you are. And if you're a very methodical, skeptical person, highly conscientious, That's who you are, and everything in between, or a combination of different personality traits. They're universal. Now, you do have cultural nuances that will play a factor. So let's say that you have an individual that was raised in New York versus somebody that was raised in a rural part of the world. Those are two different dynamics. Your environment may, like from the New York, you might be much more aggressive as an individual because it's a very competitive environment. Your upbringing in a rural part of the world can also give you courage and strength because of your environment that you're dealing with, which some of the same characteristics are valuable. So you could be courageous, bold, to go out into the wilderness or into tackling on the business world and being a very dominant, assertive individual. So you have characteristics that really are universal.
My past experience recent years was working as a clinical professor, helping physicians get their MBA, coming from a clinical background to a business background. And so one of the key elements that we were trying to do was find out how we could help them understand people better and what motivated people and what connected them and things of that nature. And we talked a lot about emotional intelligence and really trying to decode that human characteristics to make them better at what they're doing. That sounds a lot like what your technology can do. What are you really trying to market, or who are you trying to help with this type of technology? I know you said that you'd like to make things better for people. Okay. You like to, your purpose is to make us more improved, if you will, improve our ability to communicate and work together. So what markets can you address with this? What, you've been at this for 6 years now, so that's quite a long-term investment, and that's your passion. What are you trying to go out to in the market with?
Touch on a very important thing. It's all about the emotional intelligence, the EQ. And what makes us in the business world effective leaders is having emotional intelligence, having empathy, because you are different types of leaders, people that are very dominant, that can rule by fear and intimidation, or there are people that inspire individuals to follow them and to carry out a mission. There's a variety of personality traits that can define an individual. But the most important thing here is to understand yourself better. A lot of times we're in denial. We as individuals do evolve based on our education and our life experiences. But we have also seen individuals that have submitted images of themselves from their childhood, from when they were little kids, 4 or 5 years old, all the way through. We have individuals that are going up into 80. And what we have seen is that with a lot of these individuals, what they were born with is who they are. And that sort of stays with you. So when we look at, and as I said, to improve the human condition, one of the key areas for relationship is it's about team fit. So as companies are looking to hire team members, employees, what we're able to do is to assess, are they all like-minded, the same personality, the same personas? What we can see is diversity in appearance, in gender, race, and all these other factors. However, what we see in a lot of companies is the same mindset and personality. And let's say you have a highly conscientious, highly skeptical, very methodical type of people, and there's nothing wrong with those types of individuals. But if you ask them to go into new markets, create new products, explore working with new technologies, their mindset will be one of grand skepticism. And they will go in that direction because they're adverse to taking risks and they're not going to do it. So what we do is we help you understand who you are and who your team members are. What is the mission of the organization? So we're a great tool to determine what is that right fit, what is that missing right fit to help grow an organization. And HR, executive search, we provide a great tool for that. And again, at the end, it's all about relationships. Another one is online dating. So imagine you're swiping on a dating site. You have all of these people that you like the way they look. You like their profile. You have likes in common. You like walking on the beach. You like drinking red wine. You like going to football games. These are likes that you may share with someone, but are you compatible on a personality psychological level? And that's what we'll tell you. What our tool does, we'll give you a compatibility score. We'll tell you the strengths and weaknesses of the relationship. We'll tell you what you need to do if you want to pursue that relationship, what you need to do to make it right. So to give you an example, you could have two highly dominant personalities. We call them the power couple, the ultimate power couple. They're both senior executives and so on. And when those types of individuals meet, it could be magic because, yes, like I said, they're the ultimate power couple and so on. Here's the problem. A relationship like that is going to be very challenging to be sustainable because just the sheer nature that you're both dominant, you both want to be the leaders of that relationship. And unless you have that psychological maturity to be able to take a seat backward and let someone else shine when they need to, it's going to be very difficult for that relationship to thrive unless you have that understanding that, hey, I need to be respectful and I need to take a step back and let somebody else shine. And this is why when we look at a lot of celebrity marriages and whether they're in media, film industry, entertainment industry, or in the executive C-level suite, you need to have that understanding. Otherwise, you will compete and that relationship will be doomed.
Okay, I understand the right fit. I can tell you that knowing that I've got another tool, not the tool, but another tool that I can use to help figure out in a hiring process if that candidate has the qualities that I think are good, but flip that around and ask myself at the team level of leadership, do I know what the diversity and the capabilities of the overall group is? And then will that candidate fit in with our group? So I could see that trying to figure out that right fit could be an important thing. So if I'm the chairman of a company and I have a board and I want to get a good board team put together, how would I go about using this technology? I just send in pictures of all my board members and 3 or 4 months later, you come back with some study.
You do send in the picture, but we provide that to you almost instantly. And that's the power of our tech. So this is not something that you need to go in and be interviewed by a psychologist, that they need to interpret your results. And a week or a couple weeks later or a month later, you get a result. With our assessment, it takes seconds. Now, what we're looking to develop for enterprise, for companies, is a self-serve dashboard where they can upload images. We also, using computational linguistics and other AI tools, if we have you speaking or your writing samples, we can also use that as another data point to validate your personality. Your speech is reflective of your upbringing, your education, and life experiences. And it tells a lot about you as well. So that is the what I just described, that is the nurture, your upbringing and your education. So we have now both the genetics, the phenotyping, the nature, and the nurture. So now we have a complete individual of who you really are. And we'll be able to see if you're living up to your expectations. And this is also about self-discovery, self-improvement. So our reports will identify who you are and also your areas for further development or growth, the things that you're really not good at. If you are that highly dominant, assertive, aggressive CEO type, our tech will tell you, you need to listen, you need to let others speak their voice, their opinions, and so on. So we're going to try to teach you to be much more empathetic, more compassionate.
Well, I can say this, referring back to that MIT superhuman analysis of coughing and determining whether you had COVID, there will be many who want to know how you do this. For those who want more information from you, I know you'll engage with them. But for now, I'd like to think of the transformation ideas that you're putting forth. Do you remember Blockbuster?
Yes.
Video guys? Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So how come they're not here anymore? And Netflix, what happened there, do you think?
This is a very interesting correlation with my technology and a lot of tools that are out there. If I was to look at the Blockbuster model, was one where you would go into a storefront. They had locations everywhere and you would pick up your movie. And great concept. So you went to a location, you got a movie, and Blockbuster thought that model was a forever model. So what comes along is technology. And a company called Netflix came in and disrupted that. Netflix was a startup. A Blockbuster at that time was a large corporation, publicly held. They had a report quarterly, and you got the pressures of that. And you have a company here now that is focused purely on their model and all of their storefronts, which they considered to be a great asset. It would be like me saying that individuals that I encountered, and I'm going to use, if I may, executive search as an example, because executive search is an industry that's, things have been done the same way for decades and decades. And it's a market that's looking for disruption. They get a specification, a job spec. They have locations and they have associates in various locations. They'll bring in a candidate for an interview for testing. They'll administer a test for you, which can be gamed, as I said earlier. And it's a model where they look at the candidate. What we do is we've created a model that's highly scalable. You don't have to come to us, just like you don't have to go with the Netflix model to a Blockbuster storefront to pick up your DVD. They stream, we stream. You upload your image, we give you back information. Netflix sends you a movie. But more importantly, Netflix has also evolved where they become a studio and they create content. So we do the same thing. We create a variety of reports that are dealing with everything from career development. What are you genetically predisposed to? What is your ideal job? And that's based on education. Hey, I only went to high school. So we'll give you a listing of appropriate jobs that would be suitable for you based on your persona. The same thing if you're a college grad or advanced degree. We're now telling you what is possible. So to give you a quick example, you could be an accounting clerk, you could be a CPA, or you could be the CFO, depending on education. But the persona and the mindset are the same because you have an individual that is pays attention to detail, is very methodical. And that's what we're looking for in that type of a job description. But what we also do that becomes very disruptive, we analyze not only the candidate, because our tool set is not intrusive, non-invasive. You don't have to take a test. We just look at your image or the words that you use or a combination of both. And so we gather that from publicly available information, your image online, from your LinkedIn profile, what have you. And we issue a report. But more importantly, we can now analyze not only the candidate or the candidates, but also the entire team, the board of directors, the C-level suite, actually the entire company. We can go on and give you, anybody that's associated with that company, give you insights to their persona, and we could actually create the persona or the personality of that company and the company culture. What we can also do is tie that to economic performance. So what we do is we can analyze teams. We can analyze the two or three market leaders in a given sector, and we'll tell you, if you want to grow your organization to be the market leader, then this is the combination of individuals that you need to achieve. And again, it's all about having that right fit.
Yes. So the story we're hearing is really at the highest level, that of transforming industries. And Roman, you've got a history of transforming industries in a lot of different areas over the years. But we're looking now at areas like recruitment and dating and leadership coaching and marketing. I think we could go on and on. There's no limit. I know a lot of people are out there writing books on the subject of AI and the future and what's going to happen in the years to come. We don't know, other than the fact it's going to be different. It's absolutely going to be different. As Ray Kurzweil says in his book, what is near the singularity is nearer. And that's another whole topic we could get into. But for today, Roman, what's your final thoughts on this? And to the message to our audience, what would you like them to take away from here?
I would say the first and foremost important thing is no matter how automated we become in our world, how AI-driven and everything else that shapes, you know, our world to be the most exciting time in the history of humanity that we're living right now, people have always mattered since the beginning of time, and they will matter to the end of time. And what I want to say is that we've created a tool that helps you understand yourself, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, so you could better understand who you're dealing with, and whether that's in a personal or professional level. Humans matter, and we have a tool here that helps you understand humans.
Very well stated. We've enjoyed the conversation with Roman Kikta, founder and CEO of Phenometrics. Thank you, Roman. We enjoyed this.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. A pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or want to hear from a specific guest, contact us at gopi.com. That's G-O-P-I, gopi.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes.